You can look in your Bible there to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and then John chapter 4. Appreciate the pastor giving us the opportunity to, when we get up here and we say share, that means we're not sure whether we're going to preach or not. To share with you tonight. The message that I have is really just an outgrowth of some things the Lord was dealing with me all through revival, and I've testified about already in some regard about obedience and following the Lord and being used of the Lord. And so this is kind of just some of my searchings to help myself in regard to allowing the Lord to use me, helping myself to become obedient. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 17, it says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." John chapter 4 and verse 23, this is the Samaritan woman is speaking to Jesus, and he's responding to one of her questions. "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." And a couple pages over, John chapter 8. Verse 32, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Pray with me. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for you dealing with us. We thank you, Lord, that you speak to us. And Lord, we ask you to help us, Lord, to live a life that's free to serve you in obedience. The Lord, that we can experience the liberty, Lord, of your Spirit in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Over the course of the last couple months, one area of prayer that the Lord has impressed upon me to pray is to pray for liberty. To pray for liberty. And one scripture that I find myself praying often is this scripture here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as I think about liberty, you know, liberty is that quality of being unrestrained. James asked me for a title, so I told him to title this "Liberty Free." And I was with Papaw when I was a teenager. We were traveling to a church, and he would take me, and he'd give his spiel for the children's home and take an offering, and then he would let me preach because I was a teenage preacher, wanted to pursue that, and so he liked doing that. And so on occasion, I would go with him. I wish I'd have went with him more than I did now that time has gone by. I wish I would have been there more often. But we went to a place, and it wasn't in Laurel County, but the name of the church was Liberty Free Pentecostal Church. And when we got finished, Papaw, we got in the car, and he said, "Well, they had that church named right, Liberty Free." Well, I didn't get it till a couple years later. It's like fat-free. No fat. He was saying no liberty. Well, that's not the kind of church we want. That's not the kind of church we want. We don't want a liberty-free church. There's a Liberty in Laurel County, and it wasn't the one in Laurel County. It was another one, if that gets on the internet. We don't need a liberty-free church. We need a church that has liberty, that we experience liberty among us. And Brother Huff, I think he stood up to testify or to announce the funeral, but I believe the Spirit of the Lord was there in liberty Because he gave a little preface of some things that I could not even say about what happens when there's liberty. When there's liberty. Liberty, the things that he mentioned about that revival, they came about because there was liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there was liberty. It was a revival that was apparently, from what he just told us, it was just the congregation admonishing and exhorting one another. It was the congregation praying and encouraging and working with one another. It was everybody involved. Brother Huff willing to go back to a lady and say, "Do you want the Holy Ghost?" And even when she said she didn't, he said, "I'm going to pray for you anyway." The liberty to step down from the pulpit and pray for a man when he's in line to take the offering. That's liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that's the kind of liberty that I desire in my life. And so as the Lord dealt with me about my disobedience, disobeying Him, of not following Him, I began to want to pray, "Lord, give me the liberty. Lord, let me feel the unrestraint. Let all of those restraints, all of those bondages that may be there, whatever it is, Lord, let them be gone from me that I can obey You." The definition of freedom that Bill Gothard gives is that freedom is not the right to do what I want, but the power to do what is right. And you know, when we talk about obeying the Lord and serving the Lord, it's easy for us to discuss, you know, that you need to be freedom if we're talking to a drug addict. You need freedom. You got to be free of those drugs. If you're talking to someone who's hooked on pornography, you can talk about freedom. You need to be delivered from that. You need freedom from that bondage of sin. You need to be set free from that. We talk about the smoker. He needs to be set free from that. But you know what? There's believers, and I include myself in this, that we need some freedom. We need the Lord to work in us that freedom to obey Him. You know, it's easy for me to cover up my sin, because I'm in the ministry. I'm part of the staff here at the school, and I do a lot of things for the Lord, and you probably don't notice when I've disobeyed God. You probably don't know it, because it's easy for me to cover up my sin. It's easy for me. You know, that drug addict, he can't cover it up. If those that are in those terrible sins of willful sin against God, those types of sins that we cringe at, no, they can't cover that up. And we look at them and say, "Man, they need deliverance. They need freedom. They need God to set them free." But you know what? There's some in our church, and I include myself in this, we need freedom. We need God to set us free from whatever restraints are there. And it's the enemy that comes in to restrain us and to keep us from following in obedience, because the enemy knows when we obey God, that unleashes His power. When we obey God, that brings about the manifestation of Him in our midst, as was testified by Brother Huff. When Jesus walked on the shore of Galilee and He said, "Cast your nets on the other side," their simple act of obedience brought a manifestation of God's power. But they had to have the freedom to do that. They had to overcome some things to do that. You know, we've been in places before, in churches before, and you've heard people say, "Well, I didn't feel much liberty. I didn't feel much liberty there. There wasn't much liberty there." You know, to be at liberty is kind of like being at home. You know, you're at liberty at home. Now, we don't need to necessarily do these things here at church, but when we talk about we're at liberty at home, the way we dress different at home because we have some liberty. We feel comfortable there. As I go back to mom and dad's, I feel liberty there. I can walk over to the refrigerator absolutely anytime I want to, open the door and reach in there and get anything I want out. I can. I have liberty. Now, I'm not going to go over to Brother Huff's house and open the refrigerator door and just start perusing through what's there. I've never done that at his house. Although every time I go, they're very generous to offer me anything they have. But I don't feel that kind of liberty. Now, when Rebecca and I started dating, and as I began to feel a little more at home at the Barrett house, Sambia, she had to get used to me a little bit, because I'm the kind of guy that sometimes I'll walk over the refrigerator door and just open it up and shut it. I'm just looking. I really don't want anything. I just feel like, you know, maybe there is something I want and I'm not sure what it is. So as I felt more liberty and I'd open up the refrigerator door and I'd shut the door, she'd say, "Greg, what do you need? What do you want?" I said, "Nothing, just looking." Or I'd open up a cabinet and look her in the cabinet. And so she's got used to that. So she doesn't get all, you know, she doesn't wonder what I want now. She knows I'm going to open that refrigerator door sometimes and look in there and shut it right back. And I'm not disappointed that she didn't have what I wanted. I don't know what I want. I just know that there might be something in there and I'm going to look. And I feel at home. Liberty. Liberty to move and to do without restraint. Without restraint. And that's what we need in our church. That's what I need in my life as a believer. The liberty to move and to act without the restraint. Now there needs to be some restraint there. But we're a long way from wildfire. We're a long way from that. We need to work on moving without restraint. We need to work on allowing the Lord to move us without restraint. And like I said, it's often easy for me to cover up my disobedience, you know, because I do a lot of other things that are good. And you don't notice. And it's probably the same for the Wednesday night crowd. That's the way it is for most of us. Our disobedience to God, when He has dealt with us to speak to that sinner, when He has dealt with us to pray at that moment, when He has dealt with us to give a word of encouragement, when He's dealt with us to do those things and we did not do it, nobody here knows it. But I found myself in those places of disobedience. And I need the Lord to work in me and to help me to have the liberty to operate and move as He would see fit. Each of these scriptures that I read tonight, in 2 Corinthians, in John chapter 4, in John chapter 8, the conversation that's going on there was a discussion about various approaches to religion and approaches to God. In 2 Corinthians, it was a discussion of the law of Moses versus the law of Christ, and how much more glorious Christ is, how much more glorious the manifestation of Christ was even more glorious than that came about because of Moses. In John chapter 4, the woman at the well and Jesus was having a discussion about their approach to God. Where should we worship? What mountain should we worship in? How should we worship? What's the place that we should worship? In John chapter 8, a discussion went on there between Jesus and the Pharisees, who said where the ye shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And the Pharisees said, "Well, we be Abraham's seed. We're not in bondage to any man." And there was this discussion about real, true worship and the liberty that true worship brings. We look at our church service and analyze our service. Do we have a liberty-free Pentecostal church? You know, we have an opening of prayer. Do we feel liberty in the opening of the church service? Do I feel liberty in the singing? Do I feel liberty in the singing? Prayer requests and prayer time. Offering. I was having trouble coming up with an illustration as to how to feel liberty during offering, but Brother Huff gave me a great one. Liberty during the offering. Are we experiencing liberty in the offering? Testimony time. Preaching, altar call. In the singing, is there a joyful noise being made? Are we expressing ourselves unrestrained? Unrestrained. With singing, with shouting, with dancing. In prayer time, do we feel the liberty to bring our requests to our fellow believers? Do we feel a freedom in prayer to pray in the Spirit for these things? I pray oftentimes, I say, Lord, and when I in the morning time and other times, I say, Lord, help me to enter into a spirit of prayer. Why? Because in my prayer, I feel a restraint. there's a restraint there that I don't need. That if I'm going to have an effective prayer time, I need to enter into a spirit of prayer with the Spirit of prayer who makes intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. I need to enter into that spirit of prayer. Do we have the liberty in our prayer time, that spirit of prayer? As we give, are we releasing everything to God, or is there a restraint there like Ananias and Sapphira had? A restraint that said, we'll hold back a part of the price. And like I said a minute ago, I've been able to hide some of my sins. They were able to hide it until the Holy Spirit put His finger on it. Do we feel the liberty in the preaching of the Word? Does our pastor, when he preaches, does he feel a liberty to exhort and admonish and encourage the believers? Are we praying that he would have a liberty in our midst? Are we praying that that would be the case in our altar calls, in our testimony time? Is there a liberty among us to stand and to speak of the good things of God and to encourage one another? Is there liberty? Is there liberty in our prayer time? Are we praying one with another? Are we entering into a spirit of prayer? Are we worshiping the Lord together in that altar call time? Are we doing those things? The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we need to pray, and that's been part of my prayer. Lord, let Your Spirit be here. Let Your Spirit be here, that there could be a liberty among us. And what is the Spirit? When the Spirit comes, He's a Spirit. He works. Our Sunday school lesson talked this week about He performs the function of regeneration. He is the Spirit of regeneration. He gives us freedom from sin and death. He brings us to newness of life in Christ. He is a Spirit that illuminates us. He takes away the darkness. He helps us to see things that we haven't seen spiritually in the past. He is our comforter. As we talk about, the discussion is here tonight is in our the Lord uses us among the body of believers, as He uses us as believers in this sinful world. He's our comforter, and as the Spirit comes as our comforter in that regard, He removes us, He delivers us, He brings us liberty from the fear we might have of obeying God. He's that one that can be there to comfort us, to be alongside us when God says, yeah, go speak to this person. When God says, yes, yeah, stand up and give that testimony. When the Spirit says, go ahead and run that lap around the church. Whatever it might be, that He's that comforter that comes alongside of us and takes away that spirit of fear. He's not giving us a spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. He's the Spirit of adoption. We can feel comfortable in the presence of God. Not comfortable in that we take it for granted. Not comfortable in that we're laxed towards it. But comfortable in that when I am in the presence of God, I feel whole and complete. I feel fulfilled. I feel that I am what God wants me to be when I am in His presence, the Spirit of adoption. And I already mentioned the Spirit of prayer, where that we enter into that Spirit of prayer with Him. And through that, He is the Spirit of prayer that makes intercession for us. And because He is the Spirit of prayer, we know that we have access to the Father. We know, as Hebrews says, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. What else does the Holy Spirit do? Jesus said, go back to Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. He's that empowering Spirit. He's the one that gives us the Spirit. And it caused the apostles to speak with boldness. To speak with boldness. That boldness. What is boldness? It's not just unrestrained. It's not just a comfortableness. But boldness goes a little bit further. Boldness means I'm unreserved. I allow myself to become conspicuous. If you're bold, you allow yourself to become conspicuous. You act openly. You know, if you're doing something quietly, you're not real bold about it. But when you speak out, as the apostles did in the book of Acts, they made themselves conspicuous. They didn't try to hide what they were doing. They spoke out openly. They became a public spectacle for the Lord. And it was this empowering Spirit of the Holy Ghost that caused them to have that boldness, to be able to have the liberty to speak the word with boldness and without fear. What are some hindrances to our liberty? I know in my life, the main hindrance and the only one I'm going to talk about tonight is pride. Pride is our hindrance. It's the restraint. It's the restraint that causes me to choose. Instead of obeying God, it chooses me to say, okay, I'll wait. I'll delay. Or maybe even say, I won't. Our pride, it's not giving God His rightful place in my life. And I can hide that sin of pride pretty good from a lot of people, but I can't hide it from the Lord. Not giving Him the rightful place in my life as Lord. If where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But if I allow pride to be in me, I keep myself on the throne. I make the decisions. I could say to myself, well, I'm not so bad. That's how we justify ourselves when we disobey God. When we don't feel the liberty, when we don't let ourselves, see, we don't have the freedom. We don't have the power to overcome that pride. We don't have the power. You know, we talk to the drug addict. You need the power of the Spirit to overcome your drugs. You need this power of the Spirit. You need Him to come in to deliver you. I need the power of the Spirit to come in and give me power over my disobedience and my pride. I need Him to deliver me from that so that I can obey God in an unrestrained way. So that I can find myself following through with what His Spirit bids me to do. But we say in our pride, well, I'm not so bad. We compare ourselves with others. We might even justify ourselves and say, well, I'm doing better. I'm doing better. But God wants us to enter into His freedom, enter into His liberty, to enter into those things. You know, God wants us to be obedient. He wants us to experience His freedom. He wants us to experience His liberty. And what Brother Huff mentioned is exactly what we'll see demonstrated when we find ourselves entering into that liberty, entering into that freedom. Those scriptures that I read, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God is the Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. When we have the Word of God, when we have the Spirit of God, there should be liberty and freedom. There should be worship without any restraint, without any mixing of anything else. There should be worship. God wants our obedience. He wants our obedience in the gospel, to share the gospel. He wants our obedience in the gifts. He wants us to allow Him to use us in the ministry of the gifts of the Spirit. He wants us to be obedient to Him in our giving. In the gospel, in the gifts, and in giving. And how many times do we disobey Him? I don't have the liberty, I don't have the power to overcome myself and my pride. And so I don't share the gospel. I don't let the Lord use me in the gifts of the Spirit. I don't let the Lord speak to me about what to give and how to supply needs. But I want to look just for a few minutes about how God, when His Spirit comes, how wonderfully He does bring liberty. Back to John chapter 4. When Jesus finished speaking to this woman at the well, He brought her. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, and He was right there on that well with her that day. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And she experienced it. She experienced it almost immediately. Because it says there, the woman said unto Him, she went on verse 25, I know not that Messiah cometh. I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. He revealed Himself to her. The Spirit of the Lord was there. All of a sudden, I believe right here, she realizes. She hears what He says. And the Spirit of the Lord is made real to her in that moment. And all of a sudden, she has complete freedom and complete liberty. And what does she begin to do? First off, she gives. She left her water pot. Lord, what do you want me to give? She left that water pot right there. Then what did she do? She went back to the city and she shared the gospel without restraint. She didn't worry about who she talked to. She didn't worry about anything from her past that may have hindered or it been caused a problem. She just went to everybody she could find. She went to everybody she could find and said, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" She had complete, perfect liberty. She had no restraint whatsoever. She was completely... Now, I don't see Jesus... Nowhere in Scripture does Jesus say, "Okay, now I'm going to give you something to do and you be obedient to me about this." The Spirit of the Lord was there. He had spoken physical words with His mouth. But when she realized the Spirit of the Lord was there, then the Spirit of the Lord began to speak to her heart and began to tell her what to do without Him having to say it with His voice. And that's the way you and I have to operate. He speaks to us through our spirit. It's our spirit that knows God. It's our spirit that knows God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. As my spirit comes more in contact with His spirit, as I begin to know Him better and to know Him more, He begins to speak to me more. He begins to tell me more. And so her spirit began to bear witness with His spirit. There was a speaking between the spirits at that moment. When He told her in her spirit, "Go back and start telling everybody about me. Go back and start telling it." And she obeyed immediately. She was not restrained. She didn't stand around and say, "Well, is it the right time? Maybe tomorrow. I think I made them mad yesterday and they maybe wouldn't receive me today. I make all kinds of excuses about why I don't do. Maybe this isn't the service that the Lord wants to do that in." I say all kinds of things like that. She didn't argue with the Lord. She didn't argue with Him about what she was supposed to do. Because when His Spirit spoke to her spirit, she moved immediately to go back to that city and to start telling the others, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did." She went immediately. She had an unrestrained. She had complete freedom. She had the power to do what was right. She didn't have it in herself. She hadn't been able to do what was right all of her life. But all of a sudden now, because the Spirit of the Lord was there, she had liberty. I'm not going to be able to go through 10 steps to finally get to the place to where that I obey God like I should. But it's going to be Him delivering me from my disobedience, just like He delivers people from drugs, just like He delivers people from pornography and anything else. There was a little boy in school. Praying with him one service, and you know, they're always little. They're always, they raise their hand, they need to be saved. And so I'll get around every once in a while and talk to some of the little ones during chapel. And I said to one boy, have you asked Jesus to come in? "Yeah, I've asked Jesus to forgive me. I've asked Him to forgive me every night. I asked Jesus to come into my heart every night." I said, "Well, that's good." He said, "One night I asked the Lord to forgive me 30 times. That's the way I feel sometimes. That's the way I feel sometimes in my area of disobedience, that I've asked Him 30 times to forgive me. 30 times to forgive me. And you know what? It's not going to be my power. It's not going to be my self-will and my self-determination that's finally going to go over and get to where I need to be. But it's got to be His mighty power, His delivering Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It's not going to be what I do with myself to overcome my disobedience. It's allowing myself to let His Spirit do that work in my life. To let His Spirit come in and live in me and bring out that obedience. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. She went back to town and told everybody about the gospel. She left her pot and anything else that she thought was valuable and said, "I'm giving it all to the Lord." If you look in the book of Acts, you see a man called Stephen. He just a few verses that tell about him, and then we've got a sermon that he preached. But it talked about him there that he was one of those deacons that was chosen to serve tables. But it says there in Acts chapter 6 and verse 8, it says, "But Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." Stephen was an example of liberty. Because we don't know when he did this powers and miracles. But my guess is he felt the liberty all over the place. Because as he was serving those tables, as he was ministering to those widows, God was allowing him to be used. And that's what I want to be. I want to have the liberty that whether I'm serving a table with widows, whether I'm visiting the sick, whatever it might be, that I feel the liberty of God. That the Spirit of the Lord is with me, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. To pray like I need to pray. To witness like I need to witness. To share the gospel. To give like I need to give. To follow Him in obedience. And so I believe Stephen at every turn, at every turn of his day, he had the Spirit of the Lord and he had liberty. And because of it, there were signs and wonders. There were wonders and miracles done among the people. I don't think these wonders and miracles happened at church. They happened all over the place. They happened at this one's house and at that one's house. Maybe at this church service or that church service. But I believe they happened everywhere because he allowed the Lord to work in him. The Spirit of the Lord was real in his life. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Galatians says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith God hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." That's my heart's cry. I want to stand fast in the liberty. I know there's liberty. I know liberty is real. I know that we can experience the liberty of God. I can in my personal life as a believer, and I believe we can in our church, we can experience that. And we don't need to get entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Where we start calculating whether that's really what God wants to do. Where we start wondering if maybe, and we start debating with God about maybe later kinds of things. But we don't need to be entangled with that yoke of bondage. But we need to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Now this scripture is talking about those drug addicts, isn't it? No, he's talking about Christians. He's talking about you and me just as much as a drug addict. That if God has set us free, if he's begun to do a work in us to give us to experience more liberty, and that's what we had for 7 weeks of revival, he began to work in us to experience more liberty. We don't need to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I don't need to go back. I need to go forward. I need to experience more of the Spirit of God and stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. I've experienced more of the freedom of God in my life here in the last 8 to 10 weeks. And I don't want to go back on it. I want to keep moving forward. I want that liberty, and it can get greater and greater. It can become what Brother Huff talked about at that revival. It can become what happened to Stephen. It can become what happened to the woman at the well, where God begins to have His way, and as we begin to obey Him in liberty, He begins to manifest Himself in our midst. I'm going to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made me free. Let's stand together. Let's thank the Lord for His Spirit that's with us tonight. Lord, we thank You that the Spirit of the Lord is here. Lord, the Spirit, Your Spirit is here. Lord, You've made us free. Lord, You have set us free. And Lord, let us, let Your Spirit bear witness with our spirit. Lord, You want to bear witness with us. You want to speak to us. You want to commune with us minute by minute, day by day. Lord, You don't want us just to commune at times random, but Lord, You want us to commune with You all the time. Lord, that Your Spirit will bear witness with us, and the Lord will follow in obedience. We'll feel the liberty of the Lord to do Your will, to speak Your word, to give and to be what You want us to be. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, speak to us tonight. Lord, speak to us tonight. Show us, Lord, what You would have us to do. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for our services. Lord, that the Spirit would be here and that there would be liberty. Liberty to worship You in spirit and in truth. Liberty, Lord, to worship You and to lift up Your name and to exalt You. Liberty to hear Your word. Lord, that the distractions of the enemy would put in our mind, Lord, that they would be removed. And Lord, we would have perfect freedom to hear what Your word says and perfect freedom to obey. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Romans 8 talks about His Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And I've always prayed that for my children. Before they were born, I would begin to pray for them to be saved. And Lord, let Your Spirit bear witness with their spirit. Because that's when we know they're going to be saved. We know they're saved. They know they're saved when the Spirit bears witness with them. But God doesn't want to stop bearing witness with us after we get saved and that's the end of it. That's not it. His Spirit wants to bear witness with us all the time. Speaking to us, directing us, guiding us. And we should be, there should be that witness between He and I at all points of my life. In even the mundane, common things of life, my spirit should bear witness. Is it the right way to go? Is it the right direction? Is this the right decision for whatever commonplace things are happening in your life? Is my spirit bearing? He wants to bear witness with us. He wants to bring us perfect freedom and perfect liberty. You know, we make big decisions and we say we want the mind of God, but God wants to be involved in every area of our life. Our spirit bearing witness with His Spirit. And as we commune with Him, He gives us perfect liberty. Perfect liberty. Thank You, Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.